Good morning. Welcome in from the cold. My name is Erin. I am the intern minister here at Wildflower. I've just returned from my seminary in Chicago, where it was 1 degree. And I come back with some words on my heart from that time. From Zadie Smith. She is a biracial British novelist of great acclaim. And in a speech on November 10th of this past year in Berlin, she said, "If novelists know anything, it's that individual citizens are internally plural. They have within them the full range of behavioral possibilities. They are like complex musical scores from which certain melodies can be teased out and others ignored, suppressed, depending at least in part on who is doing the conducting. At this moment, all over the world, and most recently in America, the conductors standing in front of this human orchestra have only the meanest and most banal melodies in mind. But there is no place on earth when they have not been played at one time or another. Those of us who remember to a finer music must try now to play it and encourage others, if we can, to sing along."
Michelle Baker will be lighting our chalice this morning. The words to our chalice lighting this morning come from the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists member congregation in Burundi. Please join me in reciting these words, which you can find in your order of service. When people meet, endless possibilities emerge. New cultural experiences and openness to new ways of understanding and doing things. A special attention to the other and a sense of service beyond self-development. Today, let's light the chalice for openness, willingness to grow, enriching curiosity, and active cooperation. Good morning again. My name is Sharon Laidlaw, and I am the lay worship leader this morning. We welcome you to Wildflower Church, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. Unitarian Universalists are encouraged to develop a personal philosophy of life without being told what to believe. We draw inspiration from philosophy and other religions, from science and the arts, from history and popular culture, and from nature. Despite differences in beliefs about theology or philosophy, our seven principles unite us in support of each other in both successes and setbacks as we actively shape the world for the better. As we note in the order of service, assisted hearing devices are available in the foyer, and if you'd like to use one, a greeter will help you. The flowers today are in memory of Wildflower member and sound technician Lynn Kaliva. Mona Wright, the wife of a longtime Faith Presbyterian pastor, is the the flowers are in honor of both our sound technician, Lynn Kaliva, and Mona Wright, who was the wife of a longtime Faith Presbyterian pastor. We want to extend a special welcome today to our first time and returning visitors. After the service, please join us for refreshments and conversation in the fellowship hall, which you'll find down the ramp as you exit the sanctuary to the left. Now let's take a moment to say hello to those around us, especially those we may not know very well.
Thank you. We breathe together. And I'd like to invite the young of all ages to come on up to the front for the time for all ages. Oh, it's good to be with you. Wasn't that a beautiful, beautiful song?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Demethea. And thank you all for coming up. It was a great song. Thank you. All right. What an incredible group we have here today. It does sound good. Yes, with or without. Hey. Good morning. Can you hear me back there? Is my microphone on in the back? All right. Come on up. How are you today? It is my first time seeing some of you since the new year. I was traveling a little bit, and some of you are visiting for the first time, so welcome. Can we breathe together and sort of settle into our bodies here? Oh, it feels good. What is my necklace? This is our Unitarian Universalist chalice that I wear to keep our community and values close to my heart. It does look a little different than when it's on the wall. The artwork for the chalice changes sometimes. Okay. So today in our service, we're talking about emotions, and particularly a little bit about the emotion of anger. Have any of you all felt angry before?
Yeah.
If you have, how does it, can you hold that question for just a minute? How does it feel in your body when you feel angry, Evan? You feel mad. It's hard to describe, right? What were you going to say? It feels like we need to calm down sometimes when we're angry. Anyone else? Right here.
It feels like you don't like someone anymore, but then you just get sad.
Oh, it feels like you don't like someone anymore, and then you get sad. I have definitely felt that way. Right. Sometimes anger can come out as tears. That's right. Okay, you're waiting patiently. Yes.
Sometimes
it feels like you want to hurt someone. It does feel that way sometimes. What were you going to say?
I just already learned it about anger.
Okay, you've learned about anger. I'm so glad. In school, they're teaching you, so you're working on dealing with your emotions in school. Well, what I wanted to show you guys is a little something about how I sometimes feel when I'm angry. What do we have here? Can you see? Her class has a quiet corner with stress balls. That sounds like something some of us adults could use. And you're leading right into my activity. Can you hold that? Can you hold that thought for a second? Your class doesn't. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you guys something today to help you make maybe a loving and quiet place for yourself for when you're angry. Your whole room. Well, I thought we could make one together. So let me show you something. I'm going to need a little bit more quiet. Okay. All right. So today, also with the grown-ups, I'm going to be sharing some wisdom from one of our sources, from world religions and prophetic people. And one of those people is a Buddhist monk named Thich Nhat Hanh. And I want to read you guys a quote. Thich Nhat Hanh says that the practice of being compassionate with yourself, of handling your anger, is transforming of yourself. And it's like you start with garbage. You know, garbage, kind of stinky, you don't want it anymore. But Thich Nhat Hanh says you need it. That you take that garbage, you use it. That's what we're going to do. You take that garbage, and it turns into compost. Does anybody know compost? Houses have compost? Okay. So we take that compost. Shh. Okay. We take that compost. Ready?
Yeah.
You use it to build things. You build it, use it to grow things. Okay. So let's imagine.
I'm
glad we're so excited about this topic. I'm excited about it. Okay. So what? You know what? Can I have everybody's attention right up here? Can I have your eyes on my yarn? So when I feel angry, and I need you guys to let me have a turn to talk for just a little bit, okay? When I feel angry, I feel a little bit knotted up, okay? And what we're going to do today is we're going to take this knot, and we're going to have some quiet time, because like we said, quiet time can be helpful when we're angry. And I'm going to ask you all to help me turn this tangled knot into a beautiful heart. Okay? And so Elkie's going to play a little bit of music, and we are going to rise very quietly. And this is a chance for the folks in the congregation to have some quiet musical meditation and just enjoy this time. And we are going to create something loving out of this tangle before we head to class. All right? Can I ask you guys to rise with me? We're all going to stand up. I'm going to put this tangle on the ground. And will you guys spread out and make a little circle with me? Let's see if we can turn this into a heart. What would it take? Let's see. Will someone come take one of the pieces for me? Okay. Let's see. Okay, now grab a little piece. Let's see what's happening. We have to be gentle or it's going to get all tangled, right? Okay. If you want to touch a piece, you can. It's okay. Yep, if you tug, it's harder to untangle. This is like life. When our feelings, let's see, can I have that end? When our feelings get knotted up, it takes a little time. We just have to be patient. Thank you. Let's see. Can you help me? Here we go. Ready? Do you see how if we're patient, it starts to untangle? Thank you. Oh, you're letting someone else have some? Thank you. Are we breathing like Demethea showed us to breathe? Thank you. We're almost there. Do you see how that patience and that calm is helping to untangle it? Okay, let's see. How about, it's not a heart yet, I'm gonna need you. Okay, are you gonna be the corner? Okay, stop right there. Okay, let's go down. Touch it. Okay, let's see. Beautiful. Okay, ready? It's not a heart yet. Okay. Who's got a piece? Yeah? Help me. How are we doing it? Y'all are doing so good. How does it look? How does it almost? Almost. Does our heart need to be perfect to be beautiful? Will everybody kneel down and find a spot to touch it? Okay, ready? Who needs room? Do you want to come over here? Okay. We are standing on the side of love. If you know it, sing it. Hands bound together as hearts beat as one. United by faith, we dare. Sometimes we kneel on the side of love. Sometimes we sit quietly on the side of love.
Sometimes we're inside it.
Sometimes we get in the heart of love. So what I'm going to do, you notice how there was a moment. There was a moment, guys. There was a moment, did you feel it, where I wasn't sure that knot was going to untangle. I wasn't sure, was it going to stay knotted forever? But you all stayed calm, and we all worked together. And we were able to form it into something beautiful. And so I'm going to give you guys some yarn to take home with you. Yay! A heart that you can make or whatever shape would be calming to you and have in your room or have in a special place so that when you have an emotion that's hard to share and you need to just breathe, you can breathe. You did. Okay. Thank you very much. You can come up to me as we're singing out and I'll give you some yarn to take away. Thank you. Hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Shh. I know about you.
Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you. Everywhere.
Hi, you okay?
Everywhere.
guys need one?
Thank you for enjoying that time with us. That was a fun experiment in creation with our youth, some of whom are the lifelong Unitarian Universalists in our movement. Now is the time in our service where we have a time called Community Matters. There is so much going on in the life of this church, and I urge you to look at the website, the emails, the newsletter, the inserts, and I'm just going to highlight a couple things for you and then invite Sharon to highlight one more. So Brian Ferguson, our minister, would like to remind you that next Sunday after church, he will be leading the Unitarian Universalist Social Justice History Workshop. Information about that is in your insert, and I believe your RSVP would be appreciated to adult programs, but everyone is welcome. Visitors, members, friends, come on down next week after church. The same is also true for the workshop that I'm going to be leading on January 29th, also a Sunday, also at 1:30 here at Wildflower. It's a spiritual growth workshop, so we'll be talking about different ways to nourish and sustain ourselves during the year ahead. That is the workshop that we did that seeded our Buddhism and meditation group, our deep sharing small group, and so whoever shows up at that workshop will help us figure out what new spiritual practices the life of the church needs. We also have an announcement that comes to us from Carol Knight. On January 21st, women from all over the country will be participating in a women's march in DC, as well as local marches, and Wildflower will be at the Austin March at the Capitol. There will be more information next Sunday, and you are urged to speak with Kathy Kramer, who is graciously teaching today, but you can find Kathy in coffee hour. Thank you.
And speaking of Kathy Kramer and marches, this Tuesday, January 10th, is the third annual Millions March Texas, sponsored by the Austin Justice Coalition. We will be marching to demand immediate action to protect the lives of Black, Brown, and other Texans of color from police brutality and systemic and institutionalized racism. This movement is grounded in principles of love and respect for human life and a unifying belief that together we can transform our future. If you're interested in attending the march, you are welcome to join me and other Wildflowers by meeting in the church parking lot on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. Several of us will carpool to Houston Tillotson and join in the march, meet with our representatives, and then have lunch in the Capitol cafeteria. For more information, you can contact Kathy Kramer or Debbie White, who's right here, right, Debbie? After the service. One important way we support our Wildflower community is by uniting our financial resources, which we do now through our offering. Please give as generously as you are able. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, please let the basket pass, as your presence here is gift enough. Thank you in advance for your generosity.
All blessings on your gifts and on you, the givers. This offering represents the power of the people to create our sustaining community. Thank you. Would you join me now in the spirit of prayer and meditation? Spirit of life and all that we call holy, we come together today in gratitude for the warmth, love, and support of this community. I lift a prayer for our Muslim neighbors in Lakeway, the Islamic center burned to the ground 2 nights ago. They do not know the cause. We await more information, but our hearts are with them and they know this. I have reached out. Many of us have made donations already. and we will continue to let you know how to support them. This prayer is for their sustenance of spirit, as well as for the structure they may rebuild. I ask comfort, support, love, guidance, grace for those of us who are struggling. Struggling with divorce, health, mental health concerns. For those who experience violence either directly or in trauma for all that is around us. Spirit, I give thanks for knowing Lynn Kaliva. I miss him, as I know many do. And I lift up our joy. 2017, you got here. Thank you. May there be surprises and blessings of celebration that we cannot even anticipate. For all the ways we are blessed, we give thanks. I invite you now into a minute of silent breathing. As you come out of your silent contemplation, I open our space. Should you wish to say a name, a love, a concern, a sorrow, softly, to speak it aloud into the love of this community. For these prayers spoken aloud and held as well in the sanctuaries of our hearts, we say amen and blessed be. You may remain seated.
Several years ago, when I was battling regular sad and anxious feelings, I began seeing Austin therapist and former Buddhist monk Jason Fisher. He has remained a spiritual and psychological lighthouse for me, and he writes about anger in his book, Two Truths About Love. Anger is not an emotion, he asserts controversially. He continues, anger originates from emotion, but is not an emotion itself. It is the bodyguard that leaps to the defense of the vulnerable parts of yourself that are actually sad or wounded. This is not to say that anger is ever artificial, just that it is superficial. It masks a sorrow hidden somewhere beneath it. When people come to therapy for anger management, I understand what they are seeking, an answer for their sadness. How can you apply this understanding that anger is not an emotion to your aspirations for extraordinary relationships? By recognizing all anger, your own and that of others, for what it really is, sadness. This is helpful because we generally respond to sadness more compassionately than we do to anger. If someone is angry at you, recognize their sadness and respond accordingly. When you are angry, recognize your own sadness and respond accordingly with love, tenderness, and care. If Jason is correct, my family must have been one sad, sad people. I come from a family of hot tempers, quick hands, and loud voices. Old home movies from my childhood are pretty much a Seinfeld festivus of people shouting over each other, loudly airing grievances, and engaging in physical contact. It could have been our New York area tendencies, but my father always said it was the Scottish in us. Brian Ferguson were here today, we could ask him to confirm or deny this emotional lineage. But I seem to have meditated myself out of the anger over the years. For the most part, my ability to see beyond the mask of anger to the underlying sadness, fear, disappointment, humiliation, or frustration usually serves me well. However, when facing the deep sadness I feel underneath the angry rhetoric of the recent political campaign and its aftermath, love, tenderness, and care does not seem like sufficient response. I'm terrified that many of our Unitarian Universalist principles are up against powerful conflicting forces, and progressive causes we fight for will be under attack from the national stage. In particular, I mourn for our Mother Earth and how hard or impossible it might be to undo some of the damage done in the coming years. What I feel is definitely sadness. In the face of this, I've been jealous of those whose righteous anger is so powerful that it fuels them, ignites action in the face of the status quo. I, on the other hand, struggle to find in sadness the motivation to give up valuable family time or work, personal leave, for political action. Sadness doesn't sustain or drive me. It softens and sometimes drains rather than energizes. And even sadness's flip side, compassion, doesn't rally others the way righteous anger does, the way it fires up a crowd. So these are my ongoing questions. How can I find the same drive and fire for social justice that my angry companions experience? Are there others in my community who feel similarly? And can our joint compassion and sadness inspire and motivate in place of our own angry sparks?
Thank you, Sharon.
Sometimes, as a minister, you read a wisdom source that makes you just want to come to church, hold it up, and just read aloud for hours from that book. I'm going to tell you just a short story first from one such wisdom text, Soul of a Citizen, Living with Conviction in Challenging Times, by Paul Roget Loeb. Those of you who like to take notes in your order of service, this is your moment. I think it addresses some of Sharon's really, really important questions. So early in the book, Paul talks about a woman not far from us in San Antonio, Virginia Ramirez. She lived in a poor Latino area of San Antonio, and she knew that her elderly neighbor was suffering from the cold. On a day a lot like today, and many days like today, her heat didn't work. Now, Virginia would go to the city council. She would try to reach out to government organizations to figure out how to get heat for her neighbor. And it never happened. So Virginia's neighbor died in the cold. And Virginia was furious. She was so angry, and rightfully so. She went to a meeting of an organization called COPS. Let me get it right. Communities Organized for Public Service. COPS is organized around the same structure and principles as the organizing work that many of you are doing here in Austin, with Austin Interfaith and Building the Beloved Community. So she went to a meeting to express her anger. She went in and she told the story of what had happened to her neighbor and how no one had been listening to her in the city. And someone at that meeting said to her, "What are you going to do about it?" And Virginia was very angry then. We often expect others to do what we need to get done. So she went home, she was very angry, and that might have been the end of a very sad, sad story, But a nun from the COPS organization followed up with Virginia, who was brave enough first to be reaching out on behalf of her neighbor, later to be going to this meeting and expressing her anger. But that's a lot to ask. So it took another person to connect, to see that anger, to acknowledge it. And this nun came to Virginia's house in San Antonio and knocked on her door. Now, when Virginia tells Paul this story, she says, "I don't think I would have even opened the door, except it was a nun." And Virginia was Catholic, and so she opened the door, and the nun said to her, "I just want you to tell me again why you're so angry." And they talked, and this nun listened. And this was the beginning of many, many years for Virginia of activism in this organization. And little by little, meeting after meeting after meeting, like many of you do when you are angry about something that's going on, or when you care passionately, or when you are sad, or when you are longing for something, meeting after meeting, year after year, conversation after conversation, Virginia brought a whole community into activism along with many of the folks at COPS. She testified before the Senate about things going on in her community. They helped bring additional resources to that neighborhood that they determined were supposed to have been allocated for them and had gone somewhere else. We need people like you, people like Virginia Ramirez, people like the organizers in COPS and Austin Interfaith and Building the Beloved Community, to not turn away, whatever we're going to call it, to not turn away from what makes us angry or sad. We need people strong enough, brave enough to face it. I have not always been and am not always that person. It is very hard sometimes. I remember in 9th grade at Travis High School, right here, my alma mater, a science teacher who used to give me a hard time and say, "You can't look angry." He would dare me. I remember him saying, "Just try. Just try to make an angry face at me. I don't think you can do it." So I was a 15-year-old girl. He was an older man, someone in power. This is not appropriate behavior, just so you know. Don't tell people what to do with their face and how to show their emotions. But I did it, and I tried. I screwed up my face, and I tried to look angry. And I would just laugh. I would crack. And he would say, "See, I told you, you can't do it." I don't need anyone to dare me anymore. I do not. There is a lot that I am angry about. I'm just going to tell you. And I do that knowing that it makes me uncomfortable to admit it. I know that it's hard for people to hear it in church sometimes. Anger in the church is not always used for positive change. We have come, I hope, a long way from the famous sermon, "Sinners at the Hands of an Angry God," which I always thought should be made into a heavy metal song. Someday I will. It's on my to-do list, Jason. That's right, that's right. The Wildflower Band. I'm telling you, I've been dreaming about it for years. But that's not what I want for our church. Don't get me wrong. I also know that there is a lot of discomfort around women expressing anger. Does it help if I say, "I am angry," like this? Does that make it easier? What if I say it with my whole body? "I am angry! Don't you take my Planned Parenthood from me? Don't you take my health care from me? I want my rights." Is that hard to hear it that way? Feels different to say it that way. I believe that our call is to decide where we are on our personal journey with anger. We know that anger doesn't travel solo. It comes with grief, it comes with sadness, it comes with fear. Some of the worst anger is directed internally. Oh, the things I'm angry at myself at about right now that I'm not gonna spend all my time on, but they're in there. That's some of the hardest stuff. I know there are people in this congregation who have done incredible work already about anger in their lives. We have great wisdom teachers here. And I'm not trying to pull you back in to the fire if you have worked your way through. I know there's other people on the journey, often for women, just to even name that something makes you angry, to know what it is. I'm not angry. Thich Nhat Hanh says it's very easy to pretend that we're not angry, to say, me? I'm okay. I'm not angry. I'm not here to tell you where you are on your journey. I know I'm on a journey and I know I'm in the middle of it. But I'm here to invite you today, at the beginning of the year, just to notice what this topic has brought up for you. A lot of it is cultural. It's not just gendered. How would "I am angry" sound to you if I were a person of a different race, a person speaking a different language? There is so much. I could talk about this all year, but there's a lot of other topics on the agenda for 2017. But I just want to invite us, at a time when things can feel overwhelming, just to check in. Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Anger, Wisdom for Cooling the Flames, is that other book I would love to stand up here and just read to you. Get it. Read it. If you're struggling with anger at all in your personal life, if you're trying to think about it in terms of justice fuel, but you don't want it to burn you alive at home, this is a beautiful book for you. It has been for me. Thich Nhat Hanh says to treat your anger like the child of your heart that it is, to be gentle, to listen. That's why we chose some of the music we chose today, some of the activities we did today, to try to create an atmosphere of just loving, noticing of where we are. Hanh says, compassionate listening can sound like, darling, I need your help, to yourself or to someone else. You can say, I'm angry, I'm doing my best, I need someone to listen to me. Excuse me. Someone to listen. It sounds so simple, right? It sounds so simple, but it's so hard. It's the hardest work we can do, I think, sometimes, just to listen. Not try to fix, not try to suggest, not try to correct, not yet. There'll be time for that. When someone comes to you and blesses you with the gift of what they are going through, Hanh says, just breathe with them and listen. Some of you are so good at that. This is such a good community for that. If you need someone to listen to you, please, come see Brian or myself sometime. Talk to someone here that you already know. We'll find someone to be that compassionate listener for you in this time. Before we go, I want to talk just a little bit about the song, We Are a Gentle Angry People. I used to find it very annoying. I could get it stuck in my head. I think it's lovely, but I just didn't get it. What do you mean we are a gentle, angry people? It's like people who would tell me to breathe. The fact that I'm telling you to breathe represents a huge, huge leap of growth for me, because that always used to annoy me when people told me to breathe. So if you're annoyed, I feel you. I would always be like, I know, I'm breathing, I'm here, aren't I? But there's a very different kind of breathing. And there is a very different kind of anger that is allowed to be gentle, that is allowed to be felt, that is allowed to be heard. So I've made peace with that song through these wisdom teachings, and I just want to point something out to you. We Are a Gentle, Angry People is not the actual title of that song. Holly Neer wrote it for protest marches like the ones that I hope many of you are going to be at in the coming weeks. And originally, the title was Singing for Our Lives. And I found it strange that a song called We Are a Gentle, Angry People only mentions anger in one verse. That was another thing that frustrated me. We're going to be angry for a second, and then we just have to get over it? It seemed unrealistic, to say the least. But it helps me knowing that the composer's original intent was that we are singing for our lives. And with that, these verses give us this beautiful, gorgeous roadmap. We start with the most important word, we. We, not I, we are a gentle, angry people. So we are feeling something, and we are feeling it together. We name that which is on our hearts in this community as we start the year. Then we are a justice-seeking people singing for our lives. Then we are young and old together. Then we are gay and straight together. Then we get to be a gentle, loving people. It's all of that. And now I love that song so much because it gives us a place to start, it honors that anger, and then it gives us a sense that we are going to move forward from there together. On New Year's Day, I went to Asheville, North Carolina's Unitarian Universalist Church, and they did something I bet like what you guys did here, which was to name some things they wanted to let go of and to name some things they wanted to keep. And so we were asked to come up to the board and name what we wanted to keep from 2016. And in that moment, I just didn't know. I really didn't know what I wanted to keep from last year. And I thought about it, and I went up to that board where everyone else was writing hope, love, justice, resistance, and I got down on my knees at the very bottom. And I did something that is sometimes hard for women to do. I took up all the space I needed on that board. And I wrote, I don't know. And I'm angry, and I'm sad that I don't know. Thank you for this space to name that in love. That's how I felt in that moment. Today, there's a lot of things I can think I want to carry from 2016. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of good. But there are moments in our lives when we aren't feeling it. And so I hope that this community for you this year can be a place where you can write hope on our wall when you feel it, where you can write love on our wall when you feel it, and where you can also name, I don't know, when you feel it. I'm angry when you feel it. My greatest prayer about this topic is that we can just be present to each other and what is going on in our hearts. And I already know the answer to that prayer is yes. Thank you. I invite you to rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, which evades me. I know I can. It is number 1015. This is one of my favorite songs, and it has an energy that I want us to carry forth. Thank you for the music that lights our souls. Let's take a moment of silence as we extinguish our chalice. In the words of the Reverend Rebecca Parker, there is a love holding us. There is a love holding all we love. There is a love holding all. We rest in this love. Wherever you are on your journey, we love you. Blessings on that special place that is just yours right now. May you find companions here. Go in love, in peace. Amen, and blessed be.